But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
We welcome you today to the Living Waters Broadcast. We thank you for having tuned in. On January 13, 1982, in Washington, D.C., it was very cold. It was below freezing and had been snowing. The days before that day had been very cold and snowing also. The airport is beside a wide river that had some ice on it. On that cold January day, an airplane took off from the airport and flew 200 or 300 meters and crashed into the river. The plane took off from Washington National Airport and failed to gain altitude, striking a bridge and killing 4 people. The plane then plunged into the river, where the tail section broke off and remained afloat. Ice on the wings prevented the plane from a successful takeoff. Almost all of the passengers perished. For a short while, the plane floated in the water before sinking. Some of the passengers managed to get up on the tail section of the plane, and others were in the water. A helicopter was called, and 5 different times, the helicopter dropped a rope to save some people. The helicopter was small and could only save 1 person at a time. Each time, a man named Arnold took the rope from the helicopter as he was standing on the tail section of the plane and put it in the hands of another person when he could have saved himself. 5 times the helicopter came and passed the rope to other passengers in worse shape than he was. When the rope was extended to him the 6th time, the pilot urged him to take the rope, but he put it in the hands of another person. Aware that his own strength was fading, he deliberately handed the rope to someone else. He saved others, but decided to not save himself. Because of his sacrifice, others were saved. I am sure that the people he saved will think of him every day of their life. What happened that day makes me think about a hymn that goes the following way. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. The hymn writer is talking about Jesus. The hymn writer sees himself sinking in the sea of his sin, and sinking to rise no more. Then he talks about Jesus, who from those waters of sin lifted him. In Matthew 27:42, we read, he saved others, he cannot save himself. How true that is. He saved others, and to save others, he could not save himself. In John 3:17, we read, for God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Several people on the plane that day had a Savior, who was Arnold. And to save others, he had to die and not save himself. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. God did not send him into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. You may say, well, why do I need to be saved? I am a good person, and I don't do bad things. Are you saying that you have never done bad things? Are you saying that you have never hated anyone? Have you ever said an unkind and hurtful thing to another person? Have you always forgiven those who offended you? Have you always been kind and done to others as you would have them to do to you? Have you always loved your neighbor as yourself? I think we know the answer to those questions. We must say that we are guilty, that the Bible is right in Romans 3:23 when it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We have fallen short. We don't measure up. We are guilty. We have sinned thousands of times. A little boy told his mother one day that he measured 3 meters. He really measured only about a meter. His mother then asked how it was that he measured or he was 3 meters tall. He said that he invented his own ruler, and according to his ruler, he was 3 meters tall. My friend, are you inventing your own ruler when you say that you are a good person? Or are you using the measurement of the Word of God? If you use the measurement of the Word of God, you will realize that you have fallen far short and that you are guilty, guilty, and guilty again, and that you need a Savior. The man who wrote the hymn realized that when he said, "I was sinking deep in sin." If we are honest, my friend, we're going to have to say the same thing. We need a Savior to save us from the wrath and judgment of God. The Apostle Paul understood this when he said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." The same can be said of you and I. We need to be saved from the wrath of God. We have rebelled and offended Him. God is holy, just, and pure, and must judge sin. How can God judge and punish my sin and still save me? Psalm 85:10 has the answer. Mercy and truth have met together. Justice and peace have kissed. This verse explains what happened at Calvary where Jesus died. Mercy and truth have met together, and justice and peace have kissed. At the cross, God was both merciful and just. God was just in that He judged our sin, but God was merciful in that He did not judge us, but judged His Son. There is mercy for me there, but there was judgment for Jesus. He was judged, but for my sin. God demonstrated His love at the cross, and He also demonstrated His judgment. They both kissed there at the cross. The man in the river that day was a Savior to others, but to save the others, he perished. Jesus is the Savior of sinners, but to save sinners, He gave Himself. My friend, are you saved today? Have you seen yourself sinking deep in sin? Do you realize that you can't save yourself and that you need a Savior? Are you saved? There is a Savior, and that Savior is not you, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He your Savior today, or are you still trusting in your own good works and religion? Years ago in Ireland, a busload of miners one evening was on their way home from the mines. It was a particularly cold day, windy, with just enough icy rain to make the road down the mountain especially dangerous. The miners were all ready for some warm soup and something good to drink. The bus driver, however, was understandably nervous about the weather and the conditions on the road that he had to drive through. There was ice and there was the wind. They were driving down a narrow road that wound around a hill, so that on one side was a sheer mountain cliff, and the other side was the face of a mountain. On the other side of that mountain was a drop in the valley. The road went between the two. As the driver came around a curve some distance ahead, sitting in the middle of the road was a young boy, playing in the snow with his back to the bus. The bus driver had only a few seconds in which to make a decision of what he must do. If he hit the brakes hard enough to avoid the child, he would send the bus into a skid in the ice. which would either land it over the cliff or into the rock wall, surely killing some, if not all, of the miners in his care. If he used the brakes only enough to slow and not skid, he would not be able to brake in time to avoid hitting and surely killing the little boy. The bus driver had to decide. As the bus came to a slow, grinding halt, the bus driver leapt from the seat and went barreling out the doors. Some of the miners followed him. They realized that he had run over the little boy. Several yards behind, in the snow, lay the body of the child. He was dead. The bus driver had bent over the little limp form and turned it up, cradling it in his arms. The miners gathered around and removed their hats, all speechless. The little boy was the bus driver's son. He had given his son to save the lives of the miners. My friend, God sent his son into the world to offer salvation to sinners, to offer pardon to the guilty, salvation to the lost, and life to those dead in sin. There is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and only in him. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must be saved." My friend, you need to come to the Lord Jesus today. There is only salvation in him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you need to renounce your rebellion and self-trust. You need to ask God to forgive your sin, and in turning you from your own way, and in turning from your own way, you need to receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Surrender to him today and ask him to change and transform your life. There is salvation offered to you today in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified for your sins. He was buried and rose from the dead on the third day. And he is able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him. Surely those miners that day, as they walked out of that bus and saw the little boy laying in the road and then realizing that the driver had given his life to save them, they would be moved and they would be touched, realizing that he sacrificed the life of his own son to save them. It's a little example to help us understand the great love of God for each one of us. As our sins deserve punishment, God in his love punished our sins in his Son. And today he offers you, those who are willing to come to him, those who are willing to bow the knee before him and turn from their own way, ask for forgiveness and surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers salvation. My time is gone. Thank you for having tuned in to the Living Waters broadcast.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.